All right, welcome back. 239-1310, 239-1310, from the mid-1970s to the early 1990s. WTLC had a full-service news department that kept WIBC honest, that kept Fred Heckman running. That news department that won more awards than any black-oriented radio station had before, then, or since. And it was under the leadership of a graduate of The Ohio State University who started his career while still a student at Ohio State. By the name of Gene Slaymaker, came here to Indiana, worked for the old WFBM, which is now Channel 6 Television, and a radio station that's now WNDE and Q95. You know, it ain't got no news over there. But during his time, both at Channel 6 and at WTLC, Gene Slaymaker won more than 200, was responsible for earning, and he and the journalists under his tutelage, over 200 awards for journalistic excellence from the United Press International, the Associated Press, the Radio and Television News Directors Association, Sigma Delta Chi, the Society of Professional Journalists, the National Headliners Club, Casper Awards. You know, yeah, more awards than Carter has liver pills. On our live lines and in the studio, we have three of the many journalists who worked for and with Gene Slaymaker during those days at WTLC. And one of them is now does the news again for WTLC in the morning, Kelly Vaughn. On our live lines is Wendell Ray, who kind of took over the leadership of WTLC News after Gene retired, and Andrew Reed, who also worked for him. Guys, ladies, welcome.
Hello.
Hey.
Hello,
everybody,
and thank you for having me on, Amy.
Let me start, Andrew Reed. Tell us about Gene Slaymaker.
I go back to when I first met Gene. I was a young reporter, fresh out of Indiana State, and I was working for Indianapolis Public Schools radio station, and I saw Gene at a Colts game, and he asked me what I wanted to do, and I told him, and he said, well, there may be some opportunities for you over at TLC, so give me a call on Monday. So, being the young reporter that I was, I didn't call him that Monday. The next week, I saw him at a Colts game again, and he said, well, I thought you were going to call me if you wanted a job at TLC. Mm-hmm. And I was like, wow. He was serious. I didn't think he was serious about it. And went over and interviewed with him, and he offered me a job right then and there. And so he was very instrumental in getting me started in broadcasting, and then ultimately finishing up in public relations.
Kelly Vaughn, who is Gene Slaymaker?
Oh, wow. a phenomenal newsman. Taught me a lot. I was at TLC. It was just a number of months in 1987, but in that short period of time that I was there, I won the Indiana State Medical Awards Association's excellence in medical reporting. And I was like, how did this happen? I've never won an award in my life. I've only been here like for 2 months at that point when I won the award. And I thought, but that was the way he operated. And we worked very hard. I know you guys would agree with that. I remember doing 7 stories in one day once.
Yeah.
So he worked very
That was difficult.
Did I get an amen?
Wait a minute. They're reporters at the Star that don't do 7 stories in a week.
I did 7 right. stories in a day, one in one day. And he was straight and to the point, did not hesitate to correct you. I can remember him correcting me one time on the air because I said often, and he said, no, it's often, young lady. So he did not bite his tongue, but I learned a tremendous amount under him. And just and Julie, of course, his wife, phenomenal as well. They kind of came as a package, really. So,
Wendell Ray, who is Gene Slaymaker?
He meant a lot to me. You know, I was like Andrew, a young reporter, fresh out of high school, really, when Gene gave me my first opportunity to be on the air as an intern. And then I went off to IU and came back. And, you know, as every graduating college student thinks everybody's just waiting to hire them, I was in that category. And it took a minute for me to realize that he really was giving me an opportunity and was taking a chance on me because I hadn't proven anything, actually. And I can say, you know, that he really you know, Gene was a throwback. He was the last of his kind in terms of journalist, I would say. You know, he represented that group that was very hard news oriented, aggressive in getting stories. And like everybody else says, I learned in those close quarters at the WTLC News Department a tremendous amount about being ethical, being honest, being hardworking, being dedicated, understanding how to put together a news story, how to be thorough, how to be award-winning. And he set that standard. He accepted nothing less as a Cub reporter right out of college. I had to do the news on the Jay Johnson show.
I did too.
I had Gene in one ear and Jay Johnson in the other. So it was definitely baptism by fire, but it was, I can honestly say, the best period of my life in broadcasting because I learned so much from him and all the other journalists, Andrew and Kelly and all the other people that I work with, Tim Johnson, Tim Page, Kevin Bradley, all those people that I had an opportunity to work with, and I know I'm going to leave some people out, but everybody that I work with, I learned from. But Gene certainly set the standard for all of them.
Is it also that that Gene Slaymaker and all of you were able to put together newscasts, reports, documentaries that told a point of view without being biased?
I think I'm going to say we covered, Wendell, correct me if I'm wrong, we covered a wide range of stories. I was a State House reporter, but, you know, I still covered city county building. I covered sports. We covered the news that a lot of stations were not covering. And people would see us. And I remember we got those jackets, Wendell, those DLC jackets. And people would say, wow, everywhere I go, different reporters would say, hey, I see a thing. TLC is covering this story. TLC's over here. How many of you guys, and I was like, there was five of us at the time. I think me, Wendell, Kevin Bradley, Kevin O'Neill, and Stan Porter were the ones. And we pretty much covered the city. We had the city covered better than some of the major television stations, I feel.
But, you know, we had so much to fill because we had – newscasts all through the morning drive. We had newscasts at noon. We had newscasts at 3, 4, 5, and 6 o'clock. And we had info, news. What was
news
the
like it
news
is.
Scope. Like it is.
Like it is. News scope. Scope. Like it is. So we had to fill about, we had a lot of hours of news to fill each week. So we had to be everywhere.
Oh, I'd be in the newsroom till 7 in the morning from that night doing Like It Is, just putting that piece together. So.
In terms of this, and obviously one of the first things, you know, WTLC covered and made a name for itself was, I think, before I came to Indianapolis, and that was there was had been a shooting of an Indianapolis police officer, a fatal
Jack
shooting.
Orberg.
Yeah, Jack Orberg, and the police were breaking down doors and what have you, and Gene penned a series of editorials. That I think, I can't remember whether Gene did them or Al Hobbs did them, you know, in terms of talking about police abuse of power. And one of the major issues the news department focused on was police abuse of power, whether it was the Jack Orberg situation, obviously in the whole Michael Taylor, there were police action shootings before then. And that was back in the day when police action shootings that resulted in a fatality was commonplace in Indianapolis. It is rare today, and sometimes I like to think it's what Gene and all of you did in the news department, and that advocacy and bringing that to the attention of the power brokers caused police to maybe be a little bit better trained.
Yeah, we were the watchdogs of that time, and I can remember, though, what year was that, Amos, when the WTLC news department was challenged. There was a threat of it being going away, and I remember journalists from other departments around the city came and met with Amos and said, no, you cannot get rid of WTLC News. This is a part of who we are. We knew what we were, and whether we were there then or we had served at some point, that we were the watchdogs.
Andrew?
Yeah, I think Kelly's right that we were, particularly I think we were the watchdog for the African-American community. There was a lot of stories I remember my first meeting with Reverend Williams over at Black Expo, getting out the stories that they were covering, that the, some of the things that they were doing, you know, with their Christmas drives, with all the little things that Expo was doing, but the mainstream media were not covering those, and we were covering those stories, and we were letting people know about the programs and different things that they offered. I go back to I remember we covered Indiana Black Expo from start to finish. You know, we were on the floor, you know, in shifts and different things like that. Plus, we still had to do our regular job. So I think we were the voice of the little guy, so to speak. And Gene was pretty instrumental in that. And Gene was also, you know, not only the local news, Gene was instrumental in covering drugs too. He had a thing for drugs. You know, he was one of the first local journalists that I knew that was covering Noriega and all the things that were going on with Pablo Escobar. For those folks who go back that far, Gene was talking about those stories, and a lot of the other media was not.
Wendell,
yeah, he on that particular Andrew, he was the first one who I knew used the phrase "the war on drugs." I believe that was the name of an award-winning series that he did based out of some drug traffic that was going on in Indianapolis. But in terms of his editorializing, I can remember being a student at IU, and we had a police action shooting of a football player when I was there. And next thing I know, I hear an editorial on TLC. Well, I'm in Bloomington. And I was like, okay, good, way to go. We need that kind of help. But that was the kind of agitation that WTLC News was all about. And that, you know, was about educating, informing, and agitating. And we tried to do that in all aspects of what we did. And I was the lead reporter on that Michael Taylor shooting, and I can just remember how big an episode that was, a tragedy it was in our community. And it did lead to some change. I think there came a police review board out of that after that, and police action shootings, well, all sorts of actions were reviewed by a civilian review board after that. And it happened as a result of us always being in some official's face with a microphone and challenging them. Why, you know, and not just going to report, but trying to dig a little deeper and as I said, agitating and trying to be a mouthpiece for a community that in many ways didn't have a voice.
You know, a couple of things I remember is during the coverage of the Tyson trial. And Gene or Julie would come back, you know, after sitting in the courtroom every day covering that trial, because those of us in management, I only used my peremptory challenge once, and that was to go and hear the opening statements. But, you know, they would come back and they would give us in the front office a sense that Mike was getting ready to lose this trial when I think most everybody else figured he was going to walk. And sometimes the ability for those of us in leadership at the radio stations to hear from Gene or hear from all of you what else, what really was going on, and what was the skinny, you know, helped us in terms of determining you know, the directions of the radio station and where the radio station ought to be and ought to be positioned. The other thing is, after Fred Heckman retired, I was somewhere, and I can't remember, we were at some civic function, and I greeted Fred, you know, gave him his props, and Fred came up and said, you know, you guys shouldn't have gotten out of the business, because while you were in the business, I was using you all to tell my bosses that I need more resources to keep up with you.
Right.
And hearing that from Fred Heckman, who led WIBC's news team, you know, for many, many years, and a great news operation, great people, you know, hearing that, you know, from him, you know, was like a testimony of what all of you and what Gene accomplished. That is, it was almost like you all were Ford to Fred's General Motors. If you, and General Motors missed having Ford, you know, to compete that. And I never said that on the air, and I think this is the appropriate time with all of you here. Your thoughts on that?
Well, I don't think there's any question, especially of those who Andrew was a state house reporter. I was a city county building reporter. So when you're in those beats, you are with the reporters from other stations. And there's no question that we competed for stories, that if I got up and walked out of my cubicle in the city county building, the WIBC reporters wanted to know where I was going.
Dave Arlen.
Am I missing something? I remember I covered the Murat Shrine fire, and I was the only reporter on the scene, because I don't know somewhere the WIBC reporter went, but it was that kind of competition. Though I knew I had them because no one was in the stalls where we filed our reports when those alarms went off. So it was competitive. We made sure we covered the stories that were significant to our audience that they were covering, and certainly I think they used us as leverage or a measuring stick, I should say, in terms of what stories they should be covering.
The life of Gene Slaymaker will be celebrated a week from today at his home in the Meridian Kessler neighborhood of Indianapolis, beginning at 5 o'clock. The family has asked that in lieu of flowers, make a contribution, which is tax deductible, to the Julie and Gene Slaymaker Scholarship Fund, which is administered by the Women's Press Club. Of Indiana, the Women's Press Club of Indiana's Education Fund. You can send those donations in care of the National Bank of Indianapolis, which is up at 49th and Pennsylvania here in Indianapolis, 46205. We'll have information about that as well as details of Gene's unique career in journalism on our website late this evening, no later than tomorrow morning at praiseindy.com, along with this interview. He will be truly missed. I mean, he literally, I would say, you know, in radio, along with Fred Heckman and maybe Mike Ahern, in his day, Gene is up there with them.
Yeah, I'll second that. Yeah, I think Gene was a good guy, and me and my wife was just talking about Gene maybe a month or so ago. I was cleaning out my garage and I had run into some awards, and Kelly mentioned a Casper award that I had won. And then there was a couple of awards, the explosion over at the Fort Benjamin Harrison. Me and Gene covered that story and we had won an award together. And I was just looking at those awards. And then when you called me the other day and told me the sad news, I was like, wow, you know, I don't know if that was telling me, you know, keep your friends close, you know, check on old folks and, check on your old friends and, so I'm sad that he's gone, but, I think he lived a good life and he did a lot of good things here and I know here in Indiana, he did a lot of good things for, particularly me as a young reporter, giving me an opportunity.
Wendell Ray, Andrew Reed, Kelly Vaughn, all of your remembrances on the late, great Gene Slaymaker and the contribution that he made to this industry, to radio in general, to black radio in particular, and to Indianapolis and to the African-American community. I mean, the phrase blue-eyed soul brother sometimes is a cliche, but I think in Gene's case, he was it.
Yep.
You know, no
Slaymaker.
That's a good one.
Guys, thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you for having us.